welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy, the podcast where we dig into the paranormal and try to find some normalcy in the topic. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Eli.
And this week, we are going to be discussing
time travel.
Time travel. And this week has been great because my research was seriously just sitting and watching movies.
Yep, it was a pretty nice, easy episode.
Dave over there did all the hard work, and we Netflixed.
Piggyback.
So, Dave.
Yeah?
What kind of knowledge did you find?
Well, I found a bunch of stuff on paradoxes. And a time travel paradox is an apparent contradiction or a logical contradiction within the ideal of time and time travel. The very top of these paradoxes is the Fermi paradox, which can be adapted from aliens to time travels and phrased, if time travel were possible, where are all the visitors from the future?
Well, that totally depends on what time travel would be. Because let's think about it. You've got physical time travel where your actual body goes into the past.
You've got consciousness shifts.
I don't know what else is there.
Those are the only two there.
Yeah, I mean, so if it's a consciousness shift, then you may never realize that there's time travel. Right?
And I mean, unless you're the one who did it.
Yeah. Unless you are the time traveler.
And for those, you know, the reason we don't see them is, one, they might not be talking about it, or two, they've been put in a loony asylum for talking about it. Time travel.
I mean, there are tons of videos on YouTube of people who claim to be time travelers.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And they give you all this information, and
there's one recently that after, like, the FBI and some other, like, physicists and stuff looked into his things he was talking about and, like, how he got back here and everything are all things that, like, the U.S. military is working on in top secret and no one would know about, and had information about people in the future and stuff like that. And they actually are having issues putting holes in his story.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And there's also the guy who played the stock. Or this is in 2006. A guy played the stock market perfectly and turned $300 into, I think it was like $4 million or something like that. And the FBI got involved with it and asked him a bunch of questions. He was like basically up front with them. I'm from the future, blah, 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 blah. And then let him go on release on close watch and then disappeared. So this is in 2006.
Mm. See, I mean, that's entirely possible. I mean, it could be also that maybe we are seeing them and maybe that's what UFOs are. We talked about that before. You know, what if that is what aliens are? What maybe that is, you know.
That is a very popular belief.
You know, so we are seeing them when we're seeing them in big groups at certain times. Think of, you know, in the last week we talked about
Roswell
and all that stuff. And there was a big peak in that couple of years back in the 40s where they were seen constantly. Well, what had happened? We just had World War, you know. We're at the start of the Cold War. All this stuff is going. That would be an era that people might want to travel back to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're talking big world events like that, if people were given the choice to, hey, what do you want to go see? Well, I've always been a big fan of war, so let's, the World War II. Well, I want to go back to the end of World War II. I want to see what actually happened to Hitler. So it would make sense that you would see more activity in those times.
Yeah.
What about the idea kind of going like with Scrooge in Christmas Carol, where he has, you know, the ghost of Christmas past.
Nobody can
see him. Yeah, what if no one can see time travelers? What if they can't actually interact with the past, but they can come back and see everything happen, but they can't actually interact with it? Yeah.
Kind of more of a holographic.
Yeah.
That
actually just popped in my head. I was like,
That's a good one. I like that idea, too. Well, that would be more like, would that be time travel or would that just be watching something on a screen?
But, I mean, you're actually going back to these times.
You're walking through it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't just be like stepping into a simulation where it's all around you. It would be actually stepping into time that's all around you. You just couldn't interact with it.
Yeah. So you'd be kind of like a ghost.
Yeah. Maybe that's what ghosts are.
Maybe.
Maybe ghosts are people traveling back in time and
They accidentally knock some shit off the shelf and like, oops, I didn't mean to lean on that.
Yeah.
Oh, good. They just think their house is haunted. Good.
And then somebody freaks out and they're like, oh, did you see they just threw that picture frame across the room? Well, dude, I just knocked it off the shelf. What the fuck? You're making up shit.
They can't hear you.
Like, yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of a cool idea.
I'm yeah. liking this. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And those are also known as astral hobos.
Astral hobos. Yes. there are those that can interact with this, and so they make up random shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The elementals. Mm-hmm. So time travel paradoxes can be broadly categorized into two classifications, closed causal loops and consistency paradoxes. Now, a closed causal loop is a sequence of events, actions, information, objects, people, in which an event is among the causes of another event, which in turn is among the causes of the first mentioned event. Such causally looped events then exist in space-time, but their origin cannot be determined. In other words, they get locked into a cause and effect loop that cannot be broken. Now, that's really hard to understand.
Let me see if I understood this. Is that like I go back in time to do something, and in that I'm racing to get it done, and I run over a dog, and... Maybe I'm lost and confused already.
Okay.
Because I had a place I was going with that and I lost it.
If you went back to like stop World War II from happening, but what you're doing is causing World War II.
Yeah, that was what I was trying to get at.
In return, you're going back to stop World War II, causing it to happen again.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah.
Yeah, so like a predestination paradox is a type of closed causal loop. And that's where the person traveling backwards in time becomes part of the past events. And may ultimately cause the event he is trying to prevent from taking place. So an example of this would be, if your friend were to be killed by being run over by a car, then when you go back in time to prevent his death, in your rush to get to the destination, you are the one that runs him over.
That was what
Holy
I was drawing with.
Holy crap.
Ooh, this goes perfect with my fan theory for Batman.
Oh my God.
And this... fan theory for Batman the Joker. Batman, after his career as Batman and he defeats all the bad guys, he finds himself thrown back in time in a dark alley. He's wearing a trench coat and everything, and in his pockets he feels a gun. And then he hears familiar voices walking down the alley. It's his father, his mother, and him as a child. And he realizes that if he doesn't kill his parents... He never becomes Batman and cures the city of crime.
Oh, my God,
so
yes.
if he wants to grow up as Bruce Wayne and never have to worry about Batman, he doesn't kill his parents. But in doing so, like I said, he never becomes Batman, doesn't become who he's meant to be. So he jumps down, shoots him. But in doing so, he loses his mind and becomes hysterical. And he goes and jumps in the river to drown himself. Well, some fishermen pull him up. And at this point, his skin's gone pale white.
He's laughing maniacally. He becomes the Joker.
So, in this way, Bruce Wayne is the Joker and Batman all at once. And it's this infinite time loop that he has to keep going through.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that fan theory.
I ran that fan theory, and I've absolutely fell in love with it. I've remembered it for about 10 years now, and I just wait for them to make an animated movie for it.
Yeah, I like that. That is my favorite fan theory.
Isn't that
like
crazy,
that.
Though?
And the theory, like the real theory the guy wrote out, it goes in a lot more detail, but it's so good.
Yeah.
Just proves that Batman is his own worst enemy.
Yep.
Well, right? I think we are all our own worst enemy, and I think it magnifies that with the superhero in that story.
But that's a perfect. I would think that's a really good example of.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or if when you're going with, let's go with that same scenario where you are the one that winds up killing your friend. So this time though, you get to the scene of the accident, you prevent his death from happening, but then he gets killed a few minutes later by like a falling air conditioner or something, which in the original timeline, just fell, smacked the pavement. And cause no injuries.
Yeah.
But because now he's standing there, he gets hit by it and killed.
See, that kind of reminds me of like Final Destination.
Yeah, Final Destination, you can't escape death kind of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you, yeah, that's the Final Destination.
That's what jumped in my head, too.
Oh, there's so many movies that have this in it.
Well, like you were talking about earlier, like The Terminator,
mm-hmm.
where he comes back in time, and then the arm piece that's left is actually what's used to create Skynet in the future, and so it's an infinite loop.
Or the fact that the guy that sent back in time is actually John Connor's father, and he was sent
well,
back.
Well, those are different types of paradoxes.
Oh, it's a different type.
We'll get there. this one is just like the one in 12 Monkeys. Y'all ever seen 12 Monkeys?
I actually almost watched it today, okay. but I didn't
I haven't
do
seen
it.
That one.
Well, anyway, Bruce Willis, he's sent back in time to prevent some virus from happening. And he winds up being the one that releases it in the first place. It's like that kind of stuff.
There's a lot of movies out there with that theory, though.
Yeah. Predestination is completely about this. I mean, it's right in the name of it, the one with Ethan Hawke. But this paradox suggests that things are always destined to turn out the same way. And whatever has happened must happen. In essence, we don't really have free will.
Well,
you have a destiny.
It's kind of like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And the Prisoner of Prisoner Azkaban. Of Azkaban. There we go. And she gets the time turner. So she can take... Hermione gets time turner so she can take two different classes at the same time. But it's... As it plays out, you then realize that it's actually her and Harry that are causing like the pebble to be thrown at the window to distract them so that they can free the griffin and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So like all the stuff happens. Well, it is actually them going back in time and causing it to happen. But they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe I'm completely off on that.
I would think that would be...
You know what I'm talking about in that movie, yeah. though. Yeah.
He actually saves himself.
Yeah, he saves himself.
Using his, whatever it's called, because I'm not a Harry Potter fanatic. To scare away
Expecto Patronum.
Yeah, sure, that.
Yeah.
So, or unlike Bill and Ted's with the keys. His dad's keys. Isn't that kind of the same?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Then Harry Potter's different, too, because it's the same thing.
Now, another type of closed causal loop is the bootstrap paradox or ontological paradox. And that's an object, person, or piece of information sent back in time results in an infinite loop where the object has no discernible origin, so it exists without ever being created. An example of this would be if a famous musician traveled back in time and gave himself the songs he goes on to record and be famous for.
That lets us all quiet.
No. I understand. I'm trying to think of an example, but I honestly can't think of an example.
I got a few of them.
I was trying to think of a movie or something. But.
Or another one, this one involving a person who's 20 years old, goes back 21 years, meets a woman, has an affair, and returns home 3 months later without knowing she was pregnant. That child grows up to be the 20-year-old time traveler who travels back 21 years through time, meets a woman, and so on. It's an infinite loop.
So you're your own father.
Yeah.
Type setup.
Wow.
Okay. We watched Final Destination 2, and I feel like that was where Final Destination 2 left it off. I felt like it was more of that type of a thing where he ended up being his own father.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
We watched not Final Destination 2.
I was like, yeah, that's not...
Butterfly Effect 2.
Oh.
Like, that's how I felt that ended. Where he, in fact, was his own father.
I don't know, though, because that whole franchise is about it to... It's in the genes. It's a hereditary
it
thing.
It is, but just the...
Well, that would be hereditary.
Yeah.
If he has it and gives it to himself, and then...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I don't know, that's just kind of the way I took that particular one. Because in every... in that, he doesn't realize that his girlfriend is pregnant until the very end. And each time before that, the baby dies.
Yeah.
Every time he's adjusted it, the baby dies in a car accident, you know, like, while she's pregnant. So he never realizes that she was pregnant until that particular time. Then he's the one who died. And then at the end, she calls the baby Nick, which was his name. And the baby looks at the picture of all of them, which is the same picture he kept looking at to go back in time to adjust the past. And then the picture starts fuzzying out like it did every time before that.
Yeah.
And then when he had his little meeting with his mom, she's like, you know, you can't see your dad. He's dead. Because he was talking to his mom and all. I felt like that was what it was trying to portray. That's is that he was his own father. Yeah.
Makes me kind of want to watch it to figure out. But.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Because in that universe, you can't travel outside of your own lifetime, outside of your own memories.
I mean, yeah.
But they would be still in his memories.
Yeah, but the thing is he never got to travel after that. He dies.
Yeah.
And then the baby lives.
And the baby starts having the... Going back in time, like when he gets older. Yeah.
Wait,
does two tie
into one?
But I mean...
No, not in any way.
Other than the fact that the name is Butterfly Effect 2, and he goes back and changes the past. The second one's not as good.
Okay.
But...
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know.
No.
We'll have to get some listeners to...
Yeah, see whatever... And if anybody else has seen that movie or... If you watch that movie, let me know what you think. Because that's the way I took the ending of that movie.
I spent all week avoiding that movie because you told me it wasn't that good. Now you make me want to go watch it.
Well, I mean, it's... I think it's because I compared it to the first one. And the first one was a really good one.
Yeah.
And so... when
first
you,
one had Ashton Kutcher in it.
It did, but...
You have something to tell us?
But the first one... I mean, the first one was good. And I guess comparing it to that, it lacked a lot of the detail. And I almost feel like you had to have seen the first one for the second one to even make sense what was going on.
Yeah.
It's usually how sequels work, though.
Yeah, but if that's fine if it's a sequel. But it's not a sequel because it's not the...
It's a standalone movie with the same premise.
They tie it together because it goes to the guy that was Ashton Kutcher's father in the mental hospital and talks about him committing suicide. Like, in a newspaper article. So that's how it ties itself to the first movie. That's the only thing.
But he didn't commit suicide.
He does.
No, the father does not. The father gets beat over the head trying to kill Ashton Kutcher.
He's right.
I know I'm right. I literally just watched it 2 days ago for the second time this week.
That's literally the only tie in between these movies.
So here I got another example of a bootstrap paradox from fiction involving an object. An example of a bootstrap paradox in fiction involving an object is in the Terminator movies where Skynet, the conscious AI system and mankind's nemesis, could not have been invented without the components left behind from the T-800 cybernetic organism it sent back in time, with the mission to kill Sarah Connor, the mother of the future human resistance's leader John Connor, before she was pregnant with him.
Okay. So, in fact, it created itself through creating itself.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating itself. They're creating itself. They're creating itself. They're creating itself. They're creating itself.
Infinite
loop.
Infinite loop. Locked into cause and effect that can't be broken.
All right.
But unlike with predestination paradoxes, these ontological paradoxes imply that the future, present, and past are not defined, and we do have free will.
So in that case, if someone else found the arm of the T-800, Skynet never would have been made.
We just would have had really fast iPhones.
Y'all ready to go on to consistency paradoxes?
Let's do it.
Sure.
I think I got one y'all have already all heard of, the grandfather paradox.
Yeah.
And it's most commonly described as the time traveler causing the death of their grandparent, thus creating a circumstance where the time traveler would never be born in order to go back and cause the death of the grandparent. So this paradox would also include any action that leads to the non-existence of the time traveler, such as auto-infanticide, thus creating a paradox where the time traveler wouldn't be alive to go back in time in order to cause his own non-existence.
So this is like in Back to the Future, when he goes back and... his mother starts falling in love with him, and like he has to get his parents together, and his picture starts fading out of his picture, and all that stuff. So he's about to make himself not exist.
Which is an interesting thing on it, because that he was fading away and could still fix it. I mean, in most science fiction, it just he would just blink out of existence immediately.
Well, doesn't he actually start to fade himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, at the end of it.
Time machine.
Yeah.
Where the son finds out that... I can never remember the guys and the characters' names.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But yeah, he starts to fade out, so he has to root on his dad's or his uncle's friend into sleeping with his mom.
Go fuck my mom! Yeah.
Words I'd never say.
Yeah. You'd have to.
Sober, anyway.
You'd have to survive. I like that kid that's in that movie, too.
Yeah, he's, he's pretty funny.
I like
all
that
the actors
movie.
Are pretty good in that.
It's a cheesy time travel movie, but I really like that movie. Yeah. And I think I like it because it's so cheesy. And it
Motley Stew. Stugal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So the next one that's a consistency paradox is what's been come to be known as the Hitler paradox. Because when you'd ask people, well, what would you do if you could time travel? They'd say, oh, I'd go back in time and kill Hitler before the war, before he took over Germany. So it's similar to the grandfather paradox, except instead of preventing your own life, it would cause the life and the events of someone else's life to not exist. But herein lies the paradox. Logically, your actions in the past would erase your own reason for going back in time, along with any knowledge that the reason ever existed.
So if there is no Hitler to kill, you never have the desire to go back to kill Hitler, therefore it never happened.
Yes.
Interesting.
So a paradox itself arises from the idea that if you were to be successful with any time travel mission in the purpose of changing a past event, then there would be no reason to time travel in the first place because that event had never happened.
And so then you would never time travel back, and then the event would actually happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
That's kind of cool.
So we can't kill baby Hitler.
Damn it.
I just want to make him go to art school. I don't want to kill him. So let him finish art school and maybe he won't become...
So mean.
So mean.
Or just take him some pot.
That too.
Just smoke this.
I just want to order him a black stripper and it will fix everything.
Oh. See, we could make Hitler happy.
So I think... I always think of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And Doc Brown always says, I invented the time machine to travel through time. And that was it. That was his whole reason to do it, which I think is maybe why it worked in there. But
So in order to create a time machine, we're going to have to create time machine with the idea of just traveling in time.
Yeah.
Is you can't have it created for anything
specific
because if that ever gets altered, then you screw up everything.
Yeah, so we don't have time travel.
Maybe. But science fiction, they've gotten around a lot of these paradoxes to bring us great stories about time travel using a few explanations, such as the self-healing hypothesis. And that's when successfully altering events in the past will set off another set of events which will cause the present to remain the same.
So if you kill baby Hitler... Baby Lickler will take over and do the same thing that Hitler did.
His name's Rickler.
Or like Nostradamus calls him, Hister.
Yes. Yes, Nostradamus does call him Hister.
So maybe somebody did take out Hister and Hitler took his place.
Maybe.
Oh.
For every...
Hitler, maybe Mengele would have been taken over.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. Mengele was himself. Now, if you took out Mengele, there would be Pangela, who...
Yeah.
I mean,
regardless, we'd all be just sitting where we were today, and everybody who was affected by that timeline would still be affected by it in the exact same way.
So it's all so basically, in the same sense that it takes away the free will, it's all going to happen. The players' names may just change.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just all about destiny and fate.
So basically, it's, you know, instead of the main characters playing it, the understudies come in and do the job.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which then again, we still can't kill baby Hitler.
Now, I've always liked the multiverses or the many worlds hypothesis. And that's when an alternate parallel universe or timeline is created each time an event is altered in the past.
And that, I think, is what we're living. I think that is the reason for Mandela effects.
I was just about to say something like that. It's really just the false memories of the real memories from alternate timelines.
Yep.
You know?
I could believe that one.
I think that is what we are living. I think time travel has been invented in the future. And I think people are coming back and fucking with the Berenstain Bears. And, and damn it, Ed McMahon was the spokesperson for Publisher Clearinghouse.
Now I was thinking about this. Why would somebody come back and cause these just minute changes?
Maybe they actually changed something bigger, but these are all the ripples that have came.
Exactly.
From,
yeah.
Exactly.
Someone came back and killed Hitler, kind of, but then Hitler took over. But with Hitler taking over, other smaller changes happened,
mm-hmm.
and Berenstain became Berenstain.
Berenstain.
And
that ripple effect.
Yeah.
But also, what if by taking care of Hitler, and this is really fucked up to say, but what if by taking care of Hitler, Hitler's reign or terror or the things that he did were minute compared to Hitler?
Yeah, very well could be.
I mean.
Well, and that's kind of that... Is the grass always greener on the other side?
Well, it's kind of like there's the Hulu original show. What is the... I think it's 1976, something like
1976,
that.
1976, or no.
I don't remember. It's the year JFK got shot. But it's that year.
Where's Math Man when we need him? Yeah. Wait, no. Yeah,
1967?
Yeah, it was 67.
67, okay. I think it's called 1967.
See, I knew something.
But it's a James Franco show on Hulu. And he finds this diner he goes to all the time. And there's a... closet that sends him back in time, and the owner of it realizes it, knows it, and the owner's tried over time to go back in time to keep JFK from getting shot. So then James Franco goes back to do it, and he finally succeeds, but then the future's actually worse than what it was.
Yeah.
JFK creates concentration camps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He becomes the second Hitler.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The world, it's like post-apocalyptic
when
he goes back to his own time, and it's crazy. It's kind of a slow dialogue driven movie,
and that's why
show,
I feel like
so good.
And in the grand scheme of things, things are supposed to happen the way they happen.
Predestination.
Yeah.
Paradox.
I think we can control minute things, but I think the big events are set.
I think
to happen.
The outcomes are always going to be the same.
Like, and I don't know. Maybe that goes back to like my Christian background, and I remember in Bible study. Learning that there are two dates that are set in stone, your birth date and your death date. That they're written down in a book. Only God knows them, but they are set. They can't change.
How can an invisible man in the sky have a book?
The sky wizard has all kinds of things. But anyway,
he
can just will things into existence.
I really do feel like that kind of is set. And I think we almost need to believe that sometimes, especially when we lose people that are close to us. We need to feel like and understand that in order for us to move on, that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I think it helps us mentally to think that.
When you lose your will, it's easy to find your will if you have something bigger to believe in.
Yeah. So absolutely. If you're like, all right, well, this was meant to happen. And I know that when we lost Chad and I lost our nephew when he was 2.5. And it was really hard. It was why would somebody so young, you know, be taken from us? And it was like, okay, you go through the what ifs. Well, what if he would have stayed the night? What if this would have happened? And it's like, well, if that would have happened, maybe he would have fallen off that bunk bed and hit his head and he died at the house. You know, something worse could have happened.
Now, that's kind of like what I was talking about with, like the predestination paradoxes and stuff where, but I mean that takes away all your free will. And I thought Christians were real big about you have free will. There is no destiny.
There's something about the Bible that when you really look at it, you learn quickly is it's very contradictory. Because
it kind of falls apart with logic.
Yeah. Because you do. God grants us free will, but then he wants us to do things his way.
Well, I mean, no, that's not what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Because Because you can still do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is you're saying that they say that there's a day you're born and a day you die.
Yes. Everything in between
is filler. And you can't change any of that.
Yeah. You can't change.
So that's.
You can only change the way.
So that's not free will.
Well,
yeah,
it's
free will.
Well, it is up until that moment in time.
Point A and point B. But like,
in between, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, but what I think Dave is saying is that like, say like your birthday was in 1999, and or sorry 90. Let's go by me. Your birthday was in 90, and my death date would be in like 2058, and I decided to go home and do 13 freaking pounds of cocaine. I'm gonna die tonight. Therefore, if my death date, like, is that kind of what you're saying?
But see,
like,
by this theory, you wouldn't. You would actually, in fact, live. Now, you may be a vegetable from here until 2058.
Pull the plug.
But.
Nope. Not if you do a ton of cocaine and try to kill yourself.
And
I'm making you struggle.
I mean.
I get what you're saying, though, because, like, say if that those situations were to have happened, that would actually be the predestined time, regardless.
Yeah.
Okay, so like literally, it's come down to like cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going. Let's say I'm going to die tomorrow, but depending on what I do tonight, may change how I die.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I do everything safely and everything, then I just die in my sleep.
Yeah.
But if I go crazy and I get drunk, well, then I die in a car accident at the exact same time I would die being safe. That's kind of the way.
That's my thought process.
There's a film. I think it's The Time Machine. Where he builds the time machine to go back to save his lover, I think it is. Like, the woman he asked to marry him. The first time she was shot by somebody who robbed him for her, like, their money and her wedding ring. The next time he goes back, he winds up saving her, but then she gets run over by a carriage. And then, I mean, it's always just a series of that. And it's
that idea is what Amy's saying.
And he said, I could go back 1,000 times and watch her die 1,000 times, but... It's just breaking my heart too bad.
Well, that's almost like butterfly effect.
It's when he realizes that everything he does to change, she ends up killing herself or ends up dying.
Yeah.
Or so ends up not wanting to do anything with her.
Yeah, so what he ends up doing is going back and not becoming friends with her. So that way she goes and lives a happy life.
Yeah.
And he never has to worry about her dying. So
doesn't he even go back and strangle himself in the utero?
No,
or am I thinking of a
different movie? That's a
different movie. Different movie.
Okay. He goes and tries to drown himself when he's a paraplegic.
I was thinking there was one where, like, it shows at the very end, like, the ultrasound of the baby, like, wrapping the cord around its neck.
No, different movie.
That's some deep shit right there.
I just remember this.
Damn.
That's some dark image.
Wait, who's my mom? Oh, screw this.
I remember this from some... I honestly do not remember what movie this is, but I remember that from
that
movie.
That sounds like a demented movie.
I remember seeing something creepy like that.
I
want to
watch it.
And I don't know where it came from.
Maybe this was a dream of mine. Help.
Maybe this is a movie we're going to direct.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Somebody out there that exists in a
movie. Unearthing Paranormalcy presents Death by Utero.
Death by baby cord.
But I mean, like, that's
metal.
My belief in general on life and death is that the dates are set to happen, and it's just we got to do with our what is in between.
See, I have my thing when it comes to that is because I don't really believe in a god, but I believe everyone has a certain amount of time on this planet to do something for somebody else.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a goal in life. Only thing is you have the free will to try to find it. And you can do it your own way to get there. But then once it's complete, it ends. And then...
But eventually you'll find it.
Yeah, that's just one of those. But you can do it. You can find it your own way.
Yeah.
You can go your own way.
Oh, my God.
That was bad.
That was really bad. So, I mean...
I know music.
You hear that a lot when people are grieving.
Yeah.
You know, that's something people find solace in.
Well, and when it comes to time travel, I was sitting there thinking about, okay, what are some times that I would want to travel back to?
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, I wouldn't want to so much interact, but I would want to go back and say we do like the consciousness shifts like in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
I would want to go back and spend more time with my dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, not changing really anything.
Yeah.
Except for the time you spend with
him. Spend more time.
But in that same instance, it would change something.
It would change the amount of time spent with him. Yeah.
Well, no. But then it could have
no effect on everything else.
Yeah. It would take away time you were somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it also could be in the whole, I don't remember which paradox this is now, but where you did that, well, dad would still die in the same amount of time you would know him from this time.
Yeah.
So if you spent more time with him, he would die earlier because you're only allowed that much time with that person.
Well, but even if it's just spending that time with him again.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just going back to that Thanksgiving before he died and spending that 2 hours at his house.
Yeah.
Again. Or I was even thinking about it. I would like to go back and see some stuff that I've been told about from my life. Like when our grandfather, apparently my dad's dad, I was really close to him. He died when I was a year and a half old. I don't remember him at all. But I've heard stories about things, you know, he would say or do with me and all that kind of stuff. And I would like nice to go back and actually see that happen.
And remember that.
Remember it. Even if it wasn't even in a consciousness shift, but maybe even more like a Scrooge going back and watching it happen.
There's a lot of like occultist thought. And you know what astral projection is, right? Where it's like that, but along the timeline of your own life.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. I want to learn how to do that.
That would be really cool.
Even though I think at the same time, it would actually destroy you.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a point where you're going to rather be astral projecting back in this time than be in your real life. And so you're actually killing yourself in doing so.
Possibly.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you keep going back to these happy moments and just watching them happen, you're never going to want to go back to...
Not and necessarily.
With astral projection, you can only be in astral projecting for so long before you lose your body. But
which, I mean, it really is an astral projection. I mean, what it is it's like deep memory access.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Even at that, really, we all experience more happy times than bad times. The thing is most of the bad times stick in our memories harder.
Yeah.
Because it's more traumatic.
I just wish there was a way to unlock your memories stronger from...
Yeah.
But... And there supposedly actually are ways to do it.
There are ways to do it. Meditation will help with that type of stuff. Now, then there's the time travel paradox like in Travelers, which I've now watched a couple of episodes of.
About damn time.
And
I've been trying so hard to get you guys into this. I finally got Eli.
It's so good.
And
it is so good.
I watched the first three seasons and fell in love with... Actually watched the first season. Then had to wait for the second season to come out. Then the third season to come out. Then I finished it. And like the day I finished the third episode, I told Eli, go watch The Travelers because I need someone to talk to. And he got him into it. Then I've been trying to get you guys into it.
What did I say when I walked into your room? I said, oh my fucking God, this is great. I could not, and this is after I watched the first episode. When I watched the first episode, I was like, I have never seen a show nor watched a movie that had the same principle, not even the principles, but the guidelines of this movie. This show is absolutely fan-freaking-tastic.
Well, I feel like if time travel actually exists, it exists like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it exists
in this show
with the rules and regulations of this and everything.
With this show, for those who don't know what it is in the future, humanity is dying out, the world is unlivable. But throughout the time, we developed the technology to shift send our consciousness back in time to a different body.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it is this group in what it is we have, it's pretty much a giant computer that's telling everyone what to do. They call it the director. And he is sending people back, their consciousness transfers back in time to try to change events in history to hopefully cause their world not to end.
To set things right, which once went wrong.
That's a whole different show.
Oh, shit.
But so in doing so, like they send them back, and these people are coming back into, you know, different bodies, not the same bodies they had, just new bodies. And so they're using history to learn about these people that they're going to be taking the bodies over.
These people are also not being killed. They're
what they're doing is their consciousness is shifting into the body when that body would be dying.
Yes.
So, like, if this person was about to have a heart attack, what they're doing is shifting that consciousness to that body the moment they would be dying, and when they take consciousness, when the consciousness takes control, they keep them from dying.
See, and that was one part where I got confused. Like, I started to wonder, how are they doing that? Because
they know by history. They know, looking back, going, Eli dies on 2058 at 12 p.m.
I understand that. So. But what I'm saying is, like, the girl that had her head slammed into the ground, that is actual physical brain hemorrhaging that's killing her.
Mm-hmm.
Does the consciousness that shifted in there somehow heal her brain? Because in theory, if the brain is damaged and dead, then the body is damaged and dead.
That's a really bad example. As far as that person,
but see that is what caught me. Caught on for me.
I don't think it was that bad though. I mean, she had a little scrape there on her head, but
Let's go with the FBI agent.
She have a lot of like seizures and stuff afterwards?
Yeah, she did.
So she was having effects from the concussion.
Yeah,
and the other guy was that. Well, was
and she
beat
and
up.
She knows that there's something wrong because she's even said that. She said, you know, we were wrong with this person.
Well, that's the issue they have in this show is the people they transfer these consciousness to, the history is not 100% correct.
Yeah.
So one of them comes back into a druggie's body and then has this heroin addiction.
Yeah.
And he has to fight this heroin addiction. Mm-hmm. One of them gets sent back to this girl who ends up having a neural disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then she comes back into this body and she's not.
Yeah.
But then she has to fight with all these medical issues that her host had, and that's what they call them, the host bodies, and stuff like this. So it's really interesting, and the way the show goes, it all plays in, like, they explain, you know, what these people are having to do to keep these people alive, and not all travelers survive.
So does the person I'm talking about die?
We're not explaining. That would be a spoiler. But it's just really interesting, and, like, kind of a spoiler, but it's in the first episode. It's like the first 10 minutes. The first traveler is actually to someone on the World Trade Center's during 9/11. The very traveler number one.
His name is Traveler Number One, and he
did
is.
I miss this?
This no, is the very yeah. beginning. This is this the very is the beginning.
I must have been taking laundry. This is the very beginning of
this season two,
when they're flashing back.
Yeah, it's a flashback, and it's in season one, and then they go more in depth into it. Following his story in season two.
Okay, yeah.
But like, it's on the very first episode. They do this, and then it's only a clip. Like, it's a short clip in the beginning, and then season two they go back to it and explain it.
Yeah,
and well, then season three they explain it even more.
We saw the guy that they got it wrong, and he had taken pills.
Yeah,
they stopped him from shooting himself, but he had taken pills.
And
then,
like
so
I said, a lot of travelers
dies.
Move, and the people still die because they did history wasn't 100% correct.
Yeah,
but. The idea is just really cool.
Yeah.
Way it's done. Acting is terrific. Story is terrific.
Even the slow season, which is season two, is fantastic.
Yeah.
And season three is absolutely amazing. I wish everyone to go see it and
I
go watch it.
I think we need to do a Patreon over this show. We had talked about it. Yeah. Instead of Sabrina doing it over Travelers, I think we can do that. I think it's...
There's six or seven episodes.
I really need to talk to someone about the third season, so...
Now it's a rehashing mostly of like Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
And y'all never watched Quantum Leap.
I never watched Quantum Leap. So.
But it was the same premise
with my mom.
It was the same premise, but it was just one person, just one doctor would conscious shift into other people, which I didn't even realize this till maybe like a week ago when I was thinking about this. How much of a mind fuck that would be if you were that person. So first off, you don't remember being held
against your will?
Well, no, you don't remember being held by the Quantum Leap program.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you just wake up, it's like 3 days later, and stuff has drastically changed in your life. What would be your first thoughts?
That was some good shit.
But because the best I've ever seen them describe is that the people that Dr. Sam Beckett leaps into are unconscious back at the... Pretty much they're in his body, but he's in like an unconscious state inside like a waiting room.
Yeah.
So they don't interact with him. They don't tell him what's going on. And then they just throw him back into their body a few days later.
Yeah.
That sounds...
It sounds fucking weird, but you don't think about it because the show never presents that to you.
They don't show how much they ruin that person's life because
they show you how much Dr. Sam Beckett helps their life by
But then they come back into their body and it's just all kinds of screwed up. Yeah, but,
I mean they didn't think very far about it.
Well, I mean it's a TV show; it wasn't in the script.
And I never thought very far about it till you know, like a week ago when I was thinking about alien abductions.
That's my thing with TV shows is they always cut like I'm one of those. I actually want to know what happens. When, you know, the story ends, like, wait, what happens now?
Well, it's like Lost. Speaking of, they
don't even get into
They
Lost.
Are talking about rebooting Lost, and I'm like, why?
We all know what happens.
That isn't even that old of a show, though.
No.
If they're going to reboot some show, they should reboot some of the really good ones from the 90s, like instead of a That 70s Show, a That 90s Show.
Now, see, that is... Okay, here is what would happen, is if your conscious mind flipped like that, like in... Quantum Leap, it would be like the show Lost, where you just sit there like, what the fuck is going on? Polar bears? Trouble? What?
It's like literally the Twilight Zone mixed with The Mist.
It's exactly it really is.
There's some time travel.
Speaking of Twilight Zone, they're remaking Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah, they are.
But
yeah.
It's Michael Key.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That one with the events happen and they just keep happening because it's just a cycle happens on Lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
That with
the destination paradox.
What's his face? The British guy.
John Locke? No.
He's
Gordon Ramsay.
He's the one that shows up in the bunker.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
I can't think of his name. But yeah, he's in some time paradox thing along with the show gets so off in like the last couple of seasons when all the time travel starts coming. I mean, at that point, I think the writers were just like, screw it. We fucked this shit up.
See, I don't really like, I hope Travelers doesn't do this where it's like, okay, these are the rules for the universe. Okay. Yeah, I can accept that. But then all of a sudden, all the rules for the universe just changed. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for
up
me.
To season 3, it is absolutely amazing. Season 3. Now, I will say season 3, they don't... Because right now, we don't know if there's going to be a season 4. Netflix hasn't given the go. The writer of it already has season 4 written, I believe, from what I read on his Twitter and what he commented back to me on Twitter. I had my fangirl moment when I posted on Twitter about how amazing season 3 was. The writer of it messaged me back and said, thanks for watching and all this stuff. And he's like, and I was like, oh my God.
Totally going to hashtag Travelers.
I didn't even hashtag. I just finished watching season 3 of Travelers. It's absolutely amazing. And I guess he just has it anytime the word Travelers put in, it pops up to him or something. I don't know.
Or he's a traveler.
But it was.
Oh my God.
Season 3 is one of those. Maybe it ends where it could be the end of the show. Or it can start a whole new season.
Yeah.
And so the ending is amazing and sad and happy. And I felt so many different emotions there in the final season, especially the last episode. I was about to break down. But so far it doesn't, like it, things change, but they all have explanations to everything. Everything was well thought out, well written out for it. So far it's so good.
See, I think what my biggest problem with a lot of the time travel movies is my brain. I think too hard about it, and then I make it stupid in my head, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. The whole movie sucks. But like,
I mean, that's what these paradoxes do.
Yeah,
you know, because I mean, even with Travelers, I mean, if they're going back in time and fixing things so that way the world doesn't deteriorate, then when the world's not deteriorated, they don't got no reason to go back in time. You know, it's that kind of stuff. Where, I mean, I can put that on the side to listen to a good story, to hear somebody spin a good yarn, but
what is that particular paradox called?
Again? That is a good question.
Was that the Booch?
Okay.
Bootstrap paradox.
Well, one movie that.
Well, it's more just the overall. like causality, like cause and effect okay. stuff. Yeah. You know.
So, did you guys ever see Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise?
No, I refuse to watch it because I hate Tom Cruise.
Okay. Well, I hate Tom Cruise too, but whenever you wake up at 3 in the morning and it's on, you watch it.
No, you just watch whatever song that, and then you're too lazy to change
and then
the channel.
You don't talk about it.
You flip the
you're
channel.
The one who watched all the Twilight movies in one night. Okay?
Hey, man. Hey,
no,
man.
No, I want to hear what it's about. I'm just
okay. No, I know. I was saying hey, man, to him. Because he doesn't understand my love. Anyways.
For Tom Cruise?
No.
For Twilight.
Oh.
Sometimes I wonder why he's
I don't even look like someone who would watch Twilight.
Twilight's good.
He gets hard while watching Twilight.
Yeah, some good
my middle name is Edward, and
there.
No, I don't
you know
shine
what?
In the sunlight.
I went to go see... I
you
saw,
got hard in Twilight, too?
Yeah, a little bit. No, we went to see...
You gotta use the restroom.
I have seen all Twilights. I saw them all in theater. And I think it's the second one, New Moon, when Jacob gets all buff.
Yeah.
And literally, we're sitting in the balcony at the Warren. So everybody's 21 and up in the balcony at the Warren Theater. The first scene where you see him without his shirt on... A bunch of 20 to 30 year old women go, oh! And then we all go, ha! So it's all of you just said, oh.
Now, wait a minute. Wasn't he like 15 in that film?
He was like 16 or 17, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was underage up until like the third movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's okay for him to do that.
He was built like a man.
Maybe we shouldn't be sexualizing our youth like that.
Well, he's no longer youth.
Yeah. I don't think he was actually a youth when then. That was... that.
I think
that,
he had just turned 18.
I think he was 18.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because
well,
he looked like a three-year-old child in the first one.
Yeah, but we all went...
I didn't do that. I was just there for the chicks.
And then the people at the movie theater had to go through and shampoo all the seats.
Okay, so Edge of Tomorrow... That film is literally about, so basically aliens have taken over. It's more like a mechanical type deal, but they have taken over the Earth, and they put together a large group of people to basically fight the last battle on the last front, the last human front they have. And Tom Cruise is supposed to be like a recruiter, but instead threatens a general's position, so they throw him in the front line in this final battle. He gets shipped to a where they're kind of like putting together all these units, and in this fight they're all in this like mechanical like suits that like
exosuits
that
like Mech Warrior,
yeah, like increases
not quite but similar,
yeah, okay. Similar but increases their agility and strength and whatnot. And what happens is Tom Cruise gets in a fight with one of these guys after he runs away and shoots their inner core, which is basically their heart. And then he absorbs the fluid that comes out of there. And whenever he dies, time starts over. So from the point of him waking up at that recruiting station, every time he dies, he starts at that point. Okay? So... what happens is that if he gets maimed or any other altercation that would cause him not to die, he has to kill himself. So he ends up talking to like the leader warrior of this front, who also it happened to. They don't really go into terms of how she got like how it got out of her system to where she couldn't do it anymore, but that's how she became like the top killer of all these mechoids or whatever. But he finally talks to her and is like, hey, I need you to train me, blah blah blah. So she trains him. Every time he gets maimed, breaks a arm, you know, whatever, she shoots him in the head and starts the time limit over. So he dies over and over and over and over again to where it gets to the point where she starts to die, so he starts to try to save her over and over and over again. And at one point it gets to where she goes, now where do we go from here? And he goes, this is the furthest we've ever made it. And he figures out that she has to die in order for him to actually take out the heart of the mechoids or whatever.
Okay. So essentially what they're doing is they're kind of power leveling each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. But what I found, I mean, I hate Tom Cruise with a passion. I really do. Don't like him. He's like 5'4".
Have a problem with short people?
I don't have a problem with short people. I'm short myself.
You are short.
I'm
so
short myself.
Short people.
But
name two more bad things about Tom Cruise.
He's a Scientologist. He's cocky. He's got a bad hairline. Okay.
No, no, no. I meant Eli, because so far he just doesn't Scientology, like him because
he's short. Scientology's one. I don't like the fact that he's a leading Scientologist. And I also don't like how he is just a dick to women in general. That's one other thing that I don't like.
I definitely get a chauvinist vibe.
Oh, yeah. He's very chauvinist. I mean, what he did to his Kate Holmes was just fucking bullshit. Anyways, but that's...
Solid reasons.
But
think about short. It, but...
I mean, I didn't have to think about it. Farted about it, though. sorry, guy. I'm kidding. But no, that movie was very well written, and it wasn't like in a lot of people's eyesights. But whenever we were talking about the quantum deals, that was one thing that kind of stood out, because I was just like, holy shit, this movie's all around theme was basically resetting time and going over and over and over again, and the only way that you could actually restart it is by dying. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, and how they got him? I just remember how. They're able to like reset that is if he gets a blood transfusion, it takes that particular particle out of his blood, and that's what happened to her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it was pretty crazy. I liked it though. But I always thought that whenever you have like situations where you've swear to yourself that you've said this before or done this before.
Like a deja vu.
Oh, absolutely.
Deja vu. So when we talk about how there's multiple universes or something to that point, couldn't that just be the same situation of being like, okay. Because like it's remembering past lives, but also remembering past memories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Chad's got it. Does deja vu all the time.
I have deja vu terribly bad.
Yeah.
Now, here's something... Here's a question I've been pondering since we decided to do time travel. Do you guys consider being frozen and coming back in the future? Does that fit along the lines of time travel?
I mean, yes. Mentally, like your consciousness, yes.
Okay.
But physically, I mean, no, because your body is still living throughout that whole time, but it's not changing because it's frozen.
Mr. Disney's frozen.
Well, consciousnessly, it would be.
If you want to look at it logically... Even right now, we're time traveling.
Yes.
We're moving forward in time, 1 second per second.
There really is no present.
There's this huge theory.
The present is past.
The present is past.
As soon as you
missed
it.
When? Just now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Spaceballs. Nah.
There's this huge, crazy theory. It was back when I was 19 or so. And I was diving in this huge hole that we call just looking at crazy shit.
The occult?
Yeah. crazy
esoteric stuff.
Yeah, but this thing I started looking at, like I first started looking at like Anunnaki, whatever, and it goes back to aliens. But it also starts with there's this theory that they take people that have since died, say JFK, all these important people, Hitler, and they say that there's a bunker somewhere in the U.S. that they have not in the U.S. actually Europe that they have like frozen these people. For like, I mean, studies to further release them into the populace whenever they get to a certain point where they're no longer remembered or whatever. But listening and asking or listening to the whole factor of being frozen and then being brought into the future, that's kind of a weird situation.
It's Austin Powers, bro.
I would completely believe
they
it because
they stole my
mojo. Is it Switzerland or Denmark where there's the big database that has all the DNA of like all the animals on the planet and then like every seed for every plant that's on the planet?
I think the seeds are all in like Antarctica or something.
In Antarctica.
I
have no clue.
That's a great place to have them.
Like a giant bunker, like maybe not Antarctica. I don't know.
If it's Antarctica, it's run by the Nazis.
Some no cold place.
Because we all know that's where the Nazis went after
maybe
World War
II. Maybe it's Switzerland. Switzerland, Antarctica. Eh.
And Hitler's still alive in Antarctica.
We lost our Swedish listeners, so I can...
Yeah, we lost them, yeah.
This is the one where they come back and listen to it. And they're like, well, fuck this show.
Fuck them Americans.
I say, well, we got a Taiwanese listener now, but I think that's Uncle Jim. Hi, Uncle Jim.
Hi, Uncle Jim.
Hello.
I'm pretty sure it's Switzerland or Norway or somewhere like that.
They have the seed bank where it's all the seeds from every plant on Earth.
But then they also have They also
have a Chad seed too.
A DNA bank where they have the DNA of every
animal. That's where Chad seed is.
This is the Chatticus Maximus. He's stands 6 foot two.
So I would believe that maybe they don't have their bodies on ice, so to say, but maybe they've extracted their DNA.
That is.
But is it a clone? The clone is different because it's not going to have the same memories.
Consciousness.
Yeah.
We have gotten to the point in our technology, everybody knows this who believes in, well, theories.
They'll just upload our consciousness to computers and then transplant
just
it.
Just like a computer. Yeah. They're going to stick a flash drive in our ass and hit upload.
Well, you know they're installing the like chips in people's hands in like Holland or something. I don't know. It's like Switzerland, somewhere like that. Where, yeah, you just walk up and pay for stuff using their hands.
Yeah, but it's also another way for them to track us.
Yeah. And then in China, they're doing the socialist system.
You know, if they want to know so bad where I'm at, they can just freaking ask me.
I mean,
I'm not going to lie.
I always have my phone on me.
They can just ask Google. Yeah. Or Apple.
And then they listen to me. And let me tell you.
Google, where's Eli? He's on the shitter.
Again. 16th time today.
I started getting ads for esoteric stuff on my Facebook page now. And I'm like, they're totally listening to me.
They call that crap the ad listener system or something like that. It's so stupid.
Yes. So now I'm like, I keep getting these things. Best psychic readings in town. And I'm like,
that's right.
What the hell?
Eli just keeps getting the Men in Black coming after him after last week's episode, or after episode a couple weeks
ago. Did you have an encounter?
No, I didn't have an encounter, but like I was a dumbass that went to the FBI.
And then his phone went off mid.
Oh my god! I didn't even press the button either.
And Siri, I haven't listened to it yet to find out what Siri said. When I listen to it, I'll let you know.
You're like, Eli, run! I'm like, fuck! Here's my phone. I'm going.
I still am paranoid from those episodes, by the way.
So we keep talking about these paradoxes, and I've got a movie here that doesn't fall into any paradox because nothing changes. But in the 1993 movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Hell yeah.
Which is the hardest of the three to watch. It's still good. It's still funny. But it is definitely the worst of the three. I would know because I am a super fan. And I really want one of those actual real costumes from the movie. But they find an ancient scepter.
I need to talk like a turtle when you do this.
Cowabunga, dude. So like they find this scepter, man. No.
That was good.
But they find that they get the scepter and uses equal mass transportation kind of thing. I can't remember the right word.
So like if it has to be the same, like weight.
The person holding
hand.
It needs to be the same weight as the person holding it in the past, and they would transfer through realities or in through time.
Now turtles are pretty heavy, aren't they?
And yeah,
well, the Ninja Turtles especially.
These are transformed turtles.
These are mutant,
but
ninjas. Mutant
they're crime-fighting turtles.
But these turtle, what happens is first,
Donatello, Leonardo,
Michelangelo.
So to set this up, four people who are the same weight as the four turtles have to be touching the scepter.
What happens is like first it's April O'Neil, she's holding it, and the prince of the Imperial Japan, or feudal Japan. Are holding the scepter at the same time. They happen to weigh the same, so they transfer. Well, then Donatello and Mikey and Raffy and Leo, they all try to figure out what's going on. Donatello, uses his genius and figures it out. So they grab it. Well, they end up switching places with the Imperial Guard, who are all wearing their own, samurai outfits, which then equals the weight.
Because, of
course.
Switch.
Oh, okay.
Because it just happens to be, perfect. Because it's a movie. But
because it was in the script.
So they go back and all this, and they do all these things to change kind of what's happening in the past. And then all the Imperial Guards come up here, learn about hockey and TV and all this stuff. But then at the end, when they switch back, nothing changes.
That self-healing hypothesis
self-healing one, then, yeah. It's like, watch this, like, I wouldn't think that would ever happen. Like, definitely if you're teaching feudal Japan Imperial Guards about hockey and all this stuff, like, you'd think that would completely change history.
Oh, yeah. Like, Stephen Hawking even said, if we were to go back in time, if one person was to go back in time and do something as simple as take a breath, it could alter the timeline from then on.
Yeah.
Because that's like one less breath like this insect has that was supposed to be eaten by this lizard, which was supposed to be eaten by this coyote. And it would just do a domino effect until the world was drastically different.
So that's also actually goes into the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Now,
change one thing and changes everything.
Another great...
Which is part of chaos theory, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, the movie starts with a quote from Chaos Theory.
Yeah. It's right there. Basically, if you... If a butterfly... butterfly in Rio de Janeiro...
De Janeiro.
See, damn my southern accent.
No, that's just you not knowing how to speak.
Rio de Janeiro... Butterfly over there just taking the flapper. Could
oh, my Lord.
Could change.
Good Lord,
could
Jesus.
Change the weather in Virginia, all right?
Pretty much what it says is if a butterfly were to flap its wing in one spot of the world and it caused a whirlwind in the another side of the world, and just how a ripple effect, one small effect could make a giant disaster. And
yeah.
Isn't that what I said? Jesus.
I don't know what you said, Billy Bob. Put your teeth in and go drink a Bud Light.
With lime. See,
thank you.
Another movie that's kind of along those lines of Ninja Turtles would be Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Totally.
Because
whoa,
they changed the past like no other.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing happens. Except for they pass their final project.
That movie is very problematic because first off,
a bunch of stoners made that movie.
George Carlin goes back in time because
he's George Carlin, he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Because their whole society is based off of their music, which in this timeline
doesn't
even happen. But I mean, it's a cool movie where they play with that. I mean, I can put logic aside and, you know, watch a movie or whatever for entertainment.
It was really funny movie.
I do it constantly.
I had never seen it before. We watched it for this
episode. Rumors of them making a new one. And Amy was calling it the Geriatric Adventures.
I was like, Bill and Ted's Geriatric Adventures. Yes.
I mean, it was funny at the time.
It's one of those movies I can only watch like once every couple years. Yeah. So I watched it not too long ago, and I thought it was hilarious. And then I tried to watch it this week for this podcast, and I made it like 20 minutes in, and I was like, this is so bad.
I enjoyed it, but I'd never seen it before.
I really liked when they were getting cheeky with it towards the end. Yeah. Like, we can just go back after the report and steal my dad's keys then, man.
And then we'll hide them right over here by the sign. Oh, man, I did steal my dad's
keys. And here they are.
Holy shit.
And then they're like, remember a trash can? Because you could just imagine that every time they go through this police station, they get busted every damn time. That's like when the typewriter's like, oh yeah, duck.
He's like, remember to set your or wind your watch, you know. And then
that was the interesting thing in that movie, that
time moves the same kept when moving. They go back and past. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of the first time I'd heard something like that. I thought it was kind of funny.
Which I think it's just to give it kind of that hurry up and get it done effect. Because usually when you got a time machine, you're like, I got all the time in the world.
Yeah.
That way they can fit it into a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. I mean, it definitely reminded me of the 90s.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like, it is like your classic 90s movie.
My issue with Keanu Reeves is since I've seen Bill and Ted's Adventure, which I actually saw before I watched really most Keanu Reeves movies, is that's who I picture every time I see Keanu Reeves.
That's kind of who he plays.
Well, it
like even with like John Wick and stuff. Oh now I just God. I see John Wick and I'm like, totally,
you're dead, dude.
Well, pew pew.
No way.
I think probably Speed was the first movie I ever saw with Keanu Reeves in it that I can remember. But Point Break,
Parenthood.
Oh, Parenthood, yeah. He plays that same kind of character.
There's a comedian who makes a joke, because I guess actually back when they were going to do Dracula 2000, Keanu Reeves was the idea to play Dracula.
Oh, that was
so this
awesome.
Comedian's like, can't you just see it? It's me, Count Keanu. I mean, Dracula. Totally. And like every time I think of Keanu Reeves, that's exactly what I picture.
He has his and neck movement. And he doesn't
age. Going to time travel.
Oh, my God.
Keanu Reeves hasn't aged.
He, you know, he is just as sexy now as he was then, and like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
you got some competition.
He is nice to look at.
There's a group of people. I swear they're part of the Illuminati or something. You got Keanu Reeves.
He's always in time
travel
movies.
Will Smith. Like they just don't age. Yeah. Their hair grays, but that's it. But they stay the same.
Well, and then the little salt and pepper just makes them more attractive. And maybe it's because I'm getting older, so it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're getting more away from those Taylor Lautners and more towards the men your age.
Yeah, exactly. Like I
seems less creepy that way.
I showed Chad and Derek and Joe Magliano from True Blood and I said, "See, he's so sexy." I said, "He's got that salt and pepper beard." And I'm like, "Man, I'm getting old. I used to not find that attractive at all."
But I'm looking like a whole lot of time travelers right there.
Those are, I swear, Keanu Reeves is a time traveler or an alien or a reptilian or something. Because
there's a theory though about that.
Yeah, there's a vampire. He's a vampire. I've heard that one.
Yeah.
Well, he's a vampire because there's an ancient, like a not ancient, an old, like old European painted photograph, painted portrait. That's the word of an old noble. From like somewhere in Europe, and it looks just like Keanu Reeves.
Well, there's that with Nicolas Cage too.
Nicolas
like,
Cage.
Yeah.
It's like
I hate Nicolas Cage. I hate Nicolas Cage like y'all hate Tom Cruise. I just no.
Say three things bad about him.
Nicolas Cage sucks.
Oh,
I can do.
I couldn't tell you why I don't like him. I really just don't. Like
I can
him.
Do one because this is the same thing he does in all the National National Treasure movies. Just constantly rubs his nose. Wait.
I actually like,
I
him
like his
actor,
movies.
Yeah.
I actually really like his movies. I just don't like him.
Yeah.
Only movie I do not like with Nicolas Cage is Ghost Rider.
I've never seen that.
Whenever he transforms, it's literally like
it
him
was just
taking
a really,
shit.
It's one of those, it was really done, really badly done movie.
Yeah.
But like he was in. He voices Spider Noir in the new Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie. Does a perfect job.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's good at what he's good at his job.
It's just a voiceover, but does a good job.
Give him that. He's good at his job. I just don't like him.
That's my way with Graham. Played Frasier.
Kelsey Grammer.
I for some reason I cannot stand him, but there's movies he's in and stuff. He does a great job.
I
just don't like him. I don't know why.
I like Cheers.
Right. Yeah.
But he's one of those actors I just say I don't like for some reason. But
another time travel that we didn't talk about. I don't know, remember if we talked about it before or not. Chad loved this movie growing up. But We're Back. Dinosaur Story.
I actually watched it the other day and I was like, oh my God, it brings back memories.
That is a great time travel movie.
It really is.
And that's where they go back in time and they bring the dinosaurs back, but they give them the... the happy
brainy,
the brain, gosh. brain feed.
I think, yeah.
And so they become intelligent and they become nice.
John Goodman voices in that one, doesn't he?
Yeah, he plays Rex.
Yes, I love that movie.
It's so good.
That movie came out when Chad was maybe five.
It's kind of dark though, with like the screw guy and the circus and the children and
yeah. No, I used to be one of my favorite movies. I watched it all the time.
When it came on Netflix a few months back, I put it on for our daughter to watch, and we watched it like three or four times in a row. It's such a good movie, and it's
she loved it.
It's got great messages in it, and
the Museum of Natural History.
Such a good movie, but yeah, I think that's a good one. It would be kind of cool to go back and see dinosaurs.
Oh, because I absolutely love dinosaurs. I would love it. I'd be terrified, but I'd love
it. And it also makes sense why you would... Okay, I totally just jumped back to my original alien thing. That would also be reasons why spaceships show up in moments in history, like paintings of The Last Supper and cave drawings
and
stuff
like
things
that,
like that, is because people are going back to watch these events.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just popped into my head with dinosaurs, because that would be how I wouldn't want to be on the ground. I'd rather be up in the air.
I say if dinosaurs were real and they did like the whole Jurassic Park thing, I'd be one of the people to die at the park, because I would find a way to sneak in.
You know, with all these paintings and stuff, the reason they look so pristine is because every few years they go and touch them up.
Yeah.
So how do we know somebody just didn't sneak something like that in on a touch-up?
That could happen, too.
You know?
I'm going to be like one of the people that are like, no, they didn't do that.
You listen to like all these stories, like, you know, spoken word stories, handed down, going from Native Americans to Egyptians to Greece to all these things where they have that god or that creature from the sky that gives them knowledge on how to do things.
Oh, yeah.
How couldn't that, why couldn't, that could be people going back in time and actually giving them this knowledge. Could be like that predestinate, I think it's the predestination one, I think, where they give them this knowledge, or no,
the bootstrap paradox.
Bootstrap, where like they give them the knowledge to then create what they create, which then makes us want to go back in time. And so it's like that origin thing, like that, I mean, very yeah. possible that's what it is, but...
No, I mean, we're totally... I'm going to go off topic a little bit, but I was listening to Grognostics, and I was one of their episodes, and they were talking about if... Okay, let's say, you know, we talk about... They weren't that advanced, you know, how do they have this information? Imagine if something happened and we lost our computers. Just all electronics ceased to work. How much information would be lost?
A lot.
Everything, almost.
Yeah. Well...
Well, everything would be lost over time because
50.
Yeah, so we would appear to be.
But then, I mean, how long? How long do books last?
Exactly.
Maybe 100 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things. Like I keep always thinking back. Go back in time. What if the Library of Alexandria was never burned down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we would be in the world right now because all those information and knowledge lost.
Yeah.
So that's really what I'm a firm believer of.
I mean, but what if we restarted? That's what I was getting at. Is what if we actually had all this knowledge and we've had to restart and rebuild it from that point?
Yeah, maybe.
So that would be where it'd be fun to go back to and see how the Egyptians were actually able to create the pyramids.
Yeah.
Things like that.
You know what movie we haven't talked about, though, is Back to the Future.
We haven't. All right. Well, we talked about Back to the Future a little bit. Because we talked about it when we talked about the grandfather clause. The grandfather clause.
The grandfather clause.
Or the paradox, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of paradoxes in that one.
Yeah.
I thought it kind of irresponsible for him to make a time machine that required what it did. With like having to have plutonium. Because that wasn't even something common to get
But
then.
Didn't it run on just like garbage?
Well, later.
Okay.
But I mean, in the original film, it ran, it was like a nuclear thing.
See, it's been so long since I didn't watch these again. It's been a long time since I've watched the Back
to
the Future
stuff.
Well, I
am one of those odd people who actually just wasn't a fan of them.
I enjoyed
them. They weren't bad, like, don't get me wrong, but like if I had the choice to watch them or Jurassic Park, I would always take Jurassic Park. So
now here's the thing. People are now looking back on Back to the Future and looking at the things that have happened that Back to the Future kind of predicted to happen nowadays.
Yeah.
My question is, are these things happening because of Back to the Future? Or
time traveler.
Is it a time traveler?
Well, like what?
Like
the guy who becomes the president.
Like Biff becoming president. He resembles Trump a hell of a lot.
But Biff never becomes president. Biff just owns a casino in the town.
Yeah, but he gets.
I think
like,
he's the mayor
or something. Yeah.
He's the mayor or something.
3D movies, hoverboards. Although the hoverboards we have today are not the hoverboards from the movie, and anybody who wants to compare the hoverboards, bite me because
yes, actually there is.
I want the
company
hoverboard
out there
that
who
he
has actually made something similar to that.
I've seen those,
but
yeah.
It's actually just magnetic.
Yeah,
feels like they made a skateboard that
the
they
lace
can run
up
on,
shoes.
Lace-up shoes was done because of
the show.
Now in Japan, there's a town that has a high amount of like iron deposits or something, and they can actually use like cars that float.
See, that's cool.
Also, we had hover-around before you had hoverboards. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. I always wanted a hoverboard. Like the scene where he's holding on to the back of the car in the hoverboard. We used to do that with our bikes and skateboards, and we thought we were the shit because of that. Can you imagine doing that on a hoverboard and how cool that would be?
Be doing the same thing as with a skateboard.
Awesome.
Yes, we'd be hitting the rocks and the potholes. You can't do it on the roads around us. That's
nothing's
for sure.
Worse than seeing a pebble 2 inches from your wheels.
Shit, the problem just stops, and you're like, no.
The problem with our street is they came back through and they filled it with that pushy, gushy stuff like you, that gets hot and it sinks. Yeah. Like tar.
You would need a hoverboard because a wheel would just get stuck in it.
I mean, I go out to check the mail and my toes, like, I'm barefoot and half the time when I'm home, and my toes will touch it in the summertime. Like, ew, it's like, ew.
Doesn't it burn though? That shit's hot. And
it gets hot, but it gets squishy.
And it doesn't get like liquid, yeah. But it's not so it's like heat. But
you step into this warm, squishy substance in the middle of the road, and you're like, I don't want to know what it is.
I think it's just tar.
Yeah, it's all it is. But it's, yeah. But we have it, like, our street looks like snakes laying all over because they've just filled all the little cracks.
So going with kind of what you were talking about with Back to the Future, Simpsons, time travelers.
So Simpsons and the are fucking are time travels, yes.
Because the Simpsons have had multiple episodes over decades old.
From September 11th?
That depict everything, like a lot of things that have happened with Trump going down the escalator and the guy dropping the sign and 9/11 and all these different things. Simpsons had things out years before all this happens.
Yeah.
And it almost happens identically to what the Simpsons had.
Yeah. Simpsons fucking time travelers.
Someone riding the Simpsons is a time traveler.
But it's also kind of like the psychic thing. Like the famous psychic that got a few things right, like the death of JFK and like some significant stuff. But
well,
and then she got like 99% of other stuff wrong. And I mean, yeah, the Simpsons, they got a few things right, but the vast majority of it is 99% wrong.
My thing is just, it's not that, you know, they got it right. It's like the depictions of how they did it in the cartoon are just so close to what really happened.
Yeah. The escalator especially.
Oh, like, yeah. That one blew my mind.
Do they just hire someone to purposely do this so it makes it look like the cartoon? Or did these things actually happen coincidentally?
Or are the writers of The Simpsons dabbling with some astral hobos, and the astral hobos are making it happen on the other end?
I bet most of them smoke pot, so probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I think about time travelers, I think of how the Simpsons have done it. There's just so many. Like, thing is, they're not really just a whole bunch of small things.
Yeah,
it's like fairly big.
But they don't hide it.
Yeah,
it's like fairly obvious stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's insane and how it happens. I think it's really cool.
They're like, dude, drop the sign, man.
Eli's checked out.
Now I do like it. Back to the Future. How they can travel along the fourth dimension, but they can't really travel through space at the same time.
Yeah.
So essentially, whenever he travels through time, he winds up at the exact same place he left from, geographically speaking.
Yes.
Whereas most other time travel movies, like Bill and Ted's, they can go from now to Mongolia in whenever Genghis Khan was there. Not good at Mongolian
and
history.
To France, and then
Or
like the Ninja Turtles, where they go to Japan.
Yeah.
That's
traveling along all four dimensions at the same time.
Yeah. Well, there's that scene where he's like, Doc Brown's like, Marty, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
No, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally, Marty.
That's a good Christopher Lloyd impression.
That's pretty good.
Those Indians won't even be there.
I don't know. I feel like Back to the Future, I think it hits all those paradoxes at some point in time.
Yeah.
And then Doc even decides to not come back. He decides to live in the past when he meets What's-Her-Face.
Clara?
Yeah.
But if he moves back and lives in the past, then how is he there in the future to create the time machine for them to go back in time?
Dun, dun, dun.
I thought that there's a funny ass thing that happened in a movie called A Thousand Ways to Die in the West.
Oh God!
Where he has a cameo with the car in old Western times.
He just the main character. What's his
Seth name? MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane opens up these two doors in this barn, and he's just in there with the car. And he's like, "You didn't see anything."
That's how it happens. That's how it happens in the movie. Like in the movie, the car is in like this old barn, and because they go back to the West. We were talking about Hot Tub Time Machine, and in that, it's the shift of consciousness, so it's their current consciousness in their 20-year-old body.
Yeah.
And one of them decides to stay back in that time. And I asked you guys earlier, if you had the ability to take your conscious mind now and transport it back to time in your history, in your past, would you want to stay there and redo it?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as cool as it would be to come back and see what changed with what you did, but at the same time, I would much prefer to relive my life with the knowledge I have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't change some things, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of change one or two small things and then come back and see what had changed, I would prefer to actually live it out and make the changes.
Yeah.
Now, that movie we watched with the photo booth, what was the name of that?
The Time We Met.
The Time
That was a good movie.
Yeah. It's on Netflix for those who haven't seen it. It's a romantic comedy.
Yeah, and it's like the time machine is a photo booth, like an old photo booth. And basically, the whole movie, he's trying to get with this girl. And so he goes back in time. And it kind of reminds me of Groundhog Day at that point where he's going back and he's trying to get her to fall in love with him. So he's coming up with all the different stuff that she loves. You know, he learns how to play the piano or the whatever it was. And
this sounds a lot like the movie Just Friends.
I haven't seen Just Friends, I don't think.
Okay. Well, it has to do with a photo booth, and he's a piano player.
Oh, wow.
This guy's a piano player in a photo booth.
Yeah.
But kind of the premise is he...
I think that's the name of the movie.
He can go back to the day they met, but then after that day, he goes back to the future to see...
What changed,
And it's always hilarious what he walks back into.
It's the guy from Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
But he has no memory.
Maybe that's what it is.
But the interesting thing is he has no memory of the past 2 years after he altered it, so he has to figure it all out
because
as he goes.
One of the sessions is he comes back and he's a fuck buddy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Friends is with...
Just Friends, isn't that the Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
So I think you have the wrong title for the movie, Eli, but you're thinking of the same movie.
God damn it. Why does this always happen to me?
But that one was very much like...
It may not be Time We Met.
About destiny and lack of free will and stuff.
And he ends up with the friend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
There's also Time Traveler's Wife.
I haven't seen that one.
That one's really interesting.
I haven't seen that
one either. It's just a romantic. There's no romanticism. There's no real comedy with it. But basically, this guy travels back in time, and it's almost like a situation of like, not really courting, but like back when she was a child, like 12, and he gets to know her, or she gets to know him. So by the time she reaches the adult age and he comes back, they end up having children, and then he leaves, and then he comes back when she's in her 30s, and then at this point he lets her in on the fact that he's a time traveler, and he always has to return to his own time frame or his home timeline eventually, but he comes back the same age always, so there's no aging where he currently resides, and then he follows her up until she dies, and it's kind of like sad. But it's still the state, like
he's time traveling from the exact same time and
yes
his world he doesn't age
anymore. Yeah,
that movie is When We First Met.
Boom,
that's
there it,
what
is.
It is.
Yeah,
and his name is Adam Devine.
Yeah.
Yep. But that movie, Time Traveler's Life, is really 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 sad. So don't watch it.
It's sad. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
A lot of the time travel movies are kind of sad because, I mean, a lot of them live along the same premise that it doesn't matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked.
Every time you, especially when like the butterfly effect. So every time they go back, they make it worse.
See, with the butterfly effect, though, like like I said, just talking about earlier, I want to know what happens the last time he does it, and then he burns everything.
Yeah.
It's like, only thing is because they don't go any more depth. What else has changed?
Yeah.
After he realizes he doesn't know, I'm like, I know they go a little bit in the future, and he becomes a psychologist, yeah. They actually pass each other on the street and everything, but it's like, other things had to have changed, too, for the good or the bad.
Yeah.
And like, I just want those, every time I watch a movie and they leave it to where the story goes on, I just want to know what happens left on in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I really like in those movies in the first Butterfly Effect, how when he shifts, he then has that moment where he recollects everything that happens.
He's losing the memories.
Yeah.
Well, like he's losing the memories that created in the last world reality he was in, and gaining the new memories. Yes. And yeah.
So you kind of he's able to move forward because he knows how he got to where he's at.
Well, how he,
the second Butterfly Effect doesn't do that.
How he explains it is that whenever he's in the doctor's office with his mom and the doctor,
storing 40 years of memories in
3 years.
Yeah. That's what's causing the hemorrhaging in his brain and all that stuff, yeah.
Well, what's cool, though, is the doctor explains it to his mom, and then he simplifies it like that.
Yeah. He's like, that's about the gist of it, right, Doc?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a psychologist, so he's learning, and the cool thing is he still remembers all the knowledge he had from before he started doing this.
Yeah.
Of his psychology classes and stuff he was taking. And so it's really interesting how he's using his knowledge of psychology and using it in all the revamps of him trying to change his past.
Yeah. And the whole time that the doctor's convinced he's just making alternate memories to deal with
loss and stuff
like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, see, in Quantum Leap, one of my thoughts is, well, maybe Sam's really just a mental patient. And Al is just kind of his hallucination.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and he hallucinates all the events and stuff that he goes back and changes. Like, he's watching the news, and so he then takes on the things he's seen.
Yeah.
And he's not really actually traveling through time. He's just
It's a situation of, like, A Beautiful Mind or Shutter Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, that's what I said earlier when I said I think too hard on things.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person who would be writing the fan fiction about Batman and his alternate universe.
Yeah.
I think that I start thinking about those types of
you
things.
You think real outside the box.
Yeah. Which is why I do this podcast.
Exactly.
Because everything in this podcast is a little bit outside the box. Have we covered time travel pretty well, you think?
I think we have in movies, and then we going over the paradoxes a little bit was...
I feel like if we covered just straight quantum physics and time travel,
none of us are smart enough to cover.
We would be like
the true science.
I would be seeing 10111011 instead of letters,
and Math Man would have to show up because we would need some help.
now there is a podcast I listen to if you are interested in the sciencey stuff. There's a podcast with a couple of physicists that's called, I think it's How the Universe Works.
Yeah.
And they go into the quantum physics of it and stuff. And
do they,
my brain hurts just talking about this stuff, let alone trying to go into that.
Do they dumb it down at all for us slow people?
Well, I understood what they were saying. I mean, not initially, of course, because you got to break this stuff down, you know.
So they have certain subjects that kind of
They would be talking about like the effects of traveling at light speed, but then they would compare it to something we could understand.
So as long as they break it down into layman's terms.
As long as they use time travel for idiots and let me catch it on there, and it would be fine.
As long as they use pop-up books.
But, I mean, they're physicists, so they go over a lot of stuff, too, on their podcast. It's pretty neat.
It's like Sheldon talking to anybody.
That's what I was just about to say. So it kind of reminds me a little bit of Big Bang Theory. And
Less condescending. Way less condescending.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. I can handle that.
Well, there's that episode. I think it's one of the first episodes where they're talking about when Sheldon and
Leonard
move in together and they're signing a contract for roommates. And they're like, and if either of us discover time travel, we will show up right now. And then there's the pause and they look around the room.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, on to the next. But I think we've covered it pretty well. I think we could probably go deeper if we really wanted to, but
I think we
movies are a little more fun way, a funner way to do it. Yeah,
way of explaining things. So,
I think that'll do it for this episode and for time travel. Maybe we'll revisit it again
if we know how to time travel. Come back and say something now.
Well, that's gonna do it. And be sure to like us, follow us, whatever it is you do on social media at UNP Normalcy on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can always email us at umpnormalcy@gmail.com. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/UNP Normalcy.
Make sure to go and rate us on your favorite podcasting app. One, it helps us get into other people's ears so they can listen to us and enjoy us as well. So just go ahead and give us a 5-star rating, and we'd much appreciate it.
And until next week,
keep digging.